Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service coming to you from Unity Center Light, located here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And again, we look forward to bringing you this service today. This is the second Sunday in Advent, so we're going to be talking about peace today. And again, if you, have not ever joined us in Zoom, we highly recommend that you take the opportunity to do that sometime. This is where, after the talk and the meditation, you get to be involved in community with your Unity family or with the Unity family maybe you haven't met yet. You know, we invite you to come in and be with us. We have discussion about the talk, we listen to music, and we just have great general fellowship. So please think about doing that. The link for the Zoom part of it comes in your e-newsletter or weekly update. And if you do not receive either one of those, you can always just click the Show More button right below the screen if you're watching this on YouTube, and you can find our website where you can go out and get that link. And also, if you are inspired by this service that we provide, we appreciate your donations. And again, if you think to yourself, I would like to donate and support Unity Center of Light and don't know how, again, if you click on that Show More button, you will see the various ways that you can give. And again, we appreciate all of your donations. And right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, December the 4th, Sunday. The key word is peace. The affirmation is, centered in God, I am a peaceful presence. Stepping away from the busyness of the holiday preparations and the important work that must be completed before year's end, I continue my Advent journey by practicing peace in the present moment wherever I am. I am gracious with store clerks and servers in restaurants. I add positive, peaceful thoughts to conversations. When I am traveling, I bless other drivers with whom I share the road and my fellow passengers on public transportation. Peace flows from that place in consciousness where God's presence fills my awareness. I need not find a quiet corner. When I am willing, anywhere can be a peaceful sanctuary. The peace of God refreshes me and goes with me as I return to the activities of the day. Wherever I go, whatever I am doing, I am a peaceful presence. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 29:11, and it reads, May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are on the second part two of the Advent journey, and today we're going to be talking about peace. And the title is Be Established in the Peace of God. And we're going to start out by doing the reading for the second week of Advent. And explains that the second week of Advent represents peace and is symbolized by an angel. An angel is a messenger from God, and so are all Christ-like thoughts. These are the thoughts that guide us and lead us to an awareness of the presence of Christ within us, just like the shepherds were led to Jesus from the angel's words. The angel's message to the shepherds was peace on earth, goodwill to all people. And this angel guided them to the Christ. And when we respond to our Christ thoughts, we also are led to peace and are able to experience peace and goodwill in all circumstances in our lives. We are able to experience the Christ. All right? So, each week we light a candle for the Advent, and this week we're going to light the candle for peace. Now, first of all, this is the candle that we lit last week, the one on the right, and now we're lighting the candle for peace. Okay, so you know, peace. Even though the meaning of peace may seem obvious, you know, it is possible that it's not as obvious as we may think. I saw a statement that said, peace is personal. And I'm not sure where I saw that, but when I saw it, it just opened up a whole new thinking process for me. Peace is personal. Meaning, in reality, we all have our own perceptions about what peace means to us. And because peace is personal, based on our own perceptions, we may all be seeking it in a different way. So ask yourself, what does peace mean to you? And in researching this, I came across some quotes from, they call themselves peace builders, and it's from a 2018 International Day of Peace. And different people talk about, have five different quotes from different peace builders on what peace meant to them. So the first quote says, "For me, peace is happiness. For me, peace is people knowing how to deal with conflict, to find the opportunity from it to grow to another level of being. Peace is love. Peace is loving not only people you know and who are close to you, but releasing love and compassion to all those around you, the universe, and loving the life of the universe." And that was by that particular individual. Yeah, the rest of them didn't really have, their names to them. So the next one, this person said, "For me, peace is living in harmony, to be able to live without fear that someone will harm you. Globally, peace is learning how to live in cohesion across societies and to have the freedom to fully be yourself without overriding the identity or freedom of another, of anyone else." Okay. The other person said, "For me, peace is building relationships in my community where people can live together peacefully without any violence. This is what peace means to me." And another person said, "For me, peace is like a flower," and I like this one, "and conflict is like a weed, meaning that we must properly address the root causes of conflict if we wish to see peace bloom anew." And this one I really found interesting. It's more global. He says, "For me, peace means the recognition of life in every living entity in the ecosystem and recognizing that each element sustains the other and works towards protecting the survival of each other. Peace is not just about the absence of war. It is a respectful relationship between human beings, animals, and all the environmental elements. Okay. So, again, what does peace look like for you? You know, that would be really a fascinating discussion to have during the discussion part of our Zoom fellowship. And as we contemplate that question, what does peace mean to me? What does it look like to me? I think we can all agree that peace is an inside job, okay? Yes, there's a lot going on outside of us right now that we can say is disturbing our peace. But in reality, when it comes right down to it, we are consciously or unconsciously choosing to be peaceful or not peaceful. As the Buddha expressed, peace comes from within, so do not seek it without. But quite often, our inner state of feeling peaceful is connected to the conditions or environments outside of ourselves. And if our outer world is peaceful, then we are peaceful. And if it is not, then we are not. But, you know, in the words of an unknown author, when things change inside you, things will change around you. So we are in charge of our inner peace. Let me say that again. We are in charge of our inner peace. And whether or not we believe that does not change the fact that we are in charge of our inner peace. You can say, no, I'm not in charge. It's what's happening to me or around me that's causing me to be peaceful or not peaceful. You know, and yes, this is hard stuff. It's hard to get to a point where we begin to change our reality of what causes us to feel the way we feel, whatever that feeling may be. And, you know, because it entails developing an ability to free ourselves of the mental emotional illusions that are creating a non-peaceful state in our minds, okay? And this is where the power of imagination is so helpful, which is the power to imagine the reality of being peaceful while being mentally and emotionally in the experience that is not peaceful, okay? And again, that's the nature of the power of imagination. Again, for people who have been through and understand the 12 powers of mind, or the 12 gifts of God that exist in our subconscious realm of mind that we can use to help us get through, you know, challenging situations in our lives. So in last week's Zoom session, again, in our discussion time, and this will give those of you who have never been to a Zoom fellowship an idea of what those discussions look like, we explored the fact that Jesus' teachings were absolute in their basic inherent nature, okay? And as they're based on spiritual metaphysics. So when Jesus made certain statements, you know, we might go, well, who can do that, okay? But he was making a statement in his absolute nature, meaning that at some time we shall be able to do it. Like he said, everything you see me doing, you shall be able to do these and greater, okay? So these ideas are based, again, on spiritual metaphysics, or what can be called meta-spiritual teachings, okay? Now, let's look at what meta-spiritual teachings are. These are teachings that are represented as a call to being kind and compassionate, being able to really listen, being vulnerable, living in gratitude. One who follows meta-spiritual teachings is on a quest to become more sensitive to the world of emotions and what they are trying to teach us. It is taking on the challenge to allow our mistakes to lead us to inner growth instead of inner turmoil. Right? So when you get a chance to go back over that definition yourself and begin to apply it to the teachings of Jesus, you can begin to understand what he was trying to direct us to. So if we look closely at the definition, it helps us understand what a meta-spiritual teaching is like, okay? It's trying to let us know where it is possible for us. So when Jesus said certain things, what he's saying is that this is possible for you, even though he made it as an absolute statement, okay? So the key here, you know, for example, in last week's discussion, we talked about Jesus' statement have said that you should not worry about your life. Okay, this is a meta-spiritual teaching that's striving to we're striving to understand how does that work, asking how is that possible in today's world for me to follow this do not worry about your life. Well, Richard Rohr, in his book Jesus's Alternative Plan, he wrote, our task is to learn how to live in both worlds, material and spiritual, until they become one world, at least within each one of us, at least within my own spirit, okay? So from a meta-spiritual perspective, David's 23rd Psalm is talking about walking in both worlds. And we touched on this a little bit in the discussion part of last week's lesson. So he said, you know, that. So I'm saying that he's saying when he did the 23rd Psalm, he's talking about walking through both worlds, the material and the spiritual. So when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay, meta-spiritually, this is an absolute statement that points to the journey through the valley of the shadow of death, which I'm saying represents the material life, while at the same time developing a conscious awareness of the spiritual life. So he's walking through the material life, but he makes this statement, this very spiritual statement, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You right? So you get what I'm saying? So we are all walking through that valley, which is our material life, striving to reach a point Well, we understand also the spiritual life. Okay, so this continuous conscious awareness of the two worlds is what makes it possible for them to eventually become one, at least within you or me, the practitioner of this understanding that I'm walking in two worlds. So we're not negating the material life. That's what we want to understand. We're not negating the material life as we walk through the valley, okay? And he says it's shadow of death. And I think that shadow of death is things that are dying within us that is keeping us from fully being in the spiritual life, right? So as we're walking through that process, we have an awareness of the two worlds, okay? But it is a process of taking on the challenge to allow your mistakes in the valley to lead you to inner growth instead of inner turmoil, okay? So as we're going through life, and we talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about there's wisdom and fear, okay? So as we're going through the material life with a conscious awareness of the spiritual life, okay, it is helping us that as we run into these challenges in our lives, it helps, and these challenges make us not peaceful, that we learn from them, and it helps us to grow within, have inner growth instead of, you know, inner turmoil. So in Isaiah 61:7, okay, we read about the rewards that come from doing the work to allow the two worlds to become one, okay? And this is what it says. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will receive a double portion of prosperity and everlasting life. So in Isaiah, it's saying, if you learn how to bring these two worlds together, instead of shame and dishonor, you will receive a double portion of prosperity and everlasting life.
Joy.
Thank you. Everlasting joy. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, which means that this belongs to us, this everlasting joy. And you will inherit a double portion of all the good that will be yours. Okay? So again, another metaphysical explanation of what will happen to us if we are consciously doing the work to bring these two worlds together. And if we really think about it, we would realize that this spiritual process is really a mind game, right? The struggle between what we believe is real and what is really real at the meta-spiritual level, okay? So what we're thinking is real, this is really happening in my life, okay? As we used to say a while ago, it may be a fact what is happening in your life, but it is not the truth, okay? Because at that, there is another level of reality, a deeper level of reality, a reality of truth. Okay, and that's at the meta-spiritual level. So for example, to give you an example, God really is in charge of our life and affairs. Okay, we use it as an affirmation, but we're not trying to affirm something to make it real. It is real. God really is in charge of our life and affairs on a meta-spiritual level, meaning outside of our human sensory perception. Okay, so God is the underlying, unchangeable truth within every one of us. It manages the power and the glory that is ours, but it happens outside of our sensory perception, okay? So as we studied in previous lessons, God's work happens in the space in between what we're normally thinking about, right? So in that space in between what we're normally thinking about is the meta-spiritual level, right? So in terms of the Advent journey, God, the underlying unchangeable truth within every one of us, manages our faith, our peace, our love, our joy, regardless of what we believe about ourselves and our lives on a conscious sensory level, okay? So again, our work is to bring these two worlds together within ourselves. Because as we may be thinking something that is not peaceful, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding within us, okay? So again, our work is to bring those two worlds together. And this is possibly a deeper metaphysical, meta-spiritual understanding of the concept or the verse that we hear so often, be still and know that I am God. Okay. In other words, be still and know that there is another reality, a real reality, a true reality, a truth that that can overshadow the illusion that we're holding that's causing us to not be peaceful. So be still and know that I am God. Or Exodus 14:14, I, the Lord your God, will deliver you. All you need do is keep still, right? And that's the same as that be still and know that I'm God. And of course, in both of these verses, the reference is be still or keep still. It's referring to the endless stories in our minds we keep telling ourselves, stories that disturb our inner peace. So just think, if we could know, I mean really know that there is an underlying truth at work in our lives that is always working for our highest good, would we be at peace no matter what is happening on a conscious level? However, when we cannot imagine the outcome in our lives, that's when we become anxious instead of peaceful. Meaning as long as what is happening in our lives is within our knowledge base of what to do and what will happen, we're typically somewhat at peace. But when circumstances occur that take us to the edge of our ability to know what to do or know what will happen, we shift from being peaceful to being anxious. And all the spiritual work we're doing is to help us to slip out of our attachment to the sensory realm and into the meta-spiritual realm, that divine reality within us that is continuously in an unchangeable state of faith, peace, love, and joy. Now, again, easier said than done. Because in times of frustration, this can be both an inconceivable truth and or an inconvenient truth, depending on what we are dealing with. But as Thomas More, the author of The Soul's Religion, he explained, the spiritual person is one who has broken through self-deception. The spiritual person is one who has broken through self-deception and knows how much he or she doesn't know. Our goal is to reach that point in our thinking, which is at the far edge of our understanding, and then to just stand there in wonder. Okay? In other words, it's reaching a point where you're comfortable saying, I don't know how to make the shift from the sensory realm to the meta-spiritual realm, but I'm okay in my not knowing. Because I believe that it will be revealed to me. So this is how we acknowledge where we are right now in consciousness. Okay, and at the same time, we do the prayer work that makes it possible for us to stand at the edge of what we do know, stand at the edge of what we do know, the edge of our intellect, and be comfortable in the mystery and wonder of not knowing. You know, we're right at the edge, but beyond this, we can't figure it out. Okay. That's the time, actually, to be still and know that I'm God, okay? And this is where I believe we are, you know, right now. The pandemic has created so many changes, taken away so much of our old stories, but hasn't yet pointed us to what's next, okay? But I came across this explanation from a Catholic priest, Thomas Berry. He's a cultural historian and a scholar of world religions, okay? And this is what he explains. He says, it's all a question of story. We're not peaceful right now because we are in between stories. The old story, the account of how the world came to be and how we fit into it, it sustained us for a long time. It shaped our emotional attitudes, provided us with life purpose and energized action. It consecrated suffering, integrated knowledge, guided education. We awoke in the morning and knew where we were. We could answer the questions of our children. We could identify crime, punishment, transgressors. Everything was taken care of because the story was there. Today, however, our traditional story is no longer functioning properly, and we have not yet learned the new story. Okay. I thought that was an awesome explanation of what is happening in the world that's causing so much heartache and fear and frustration and so forth. Okay. As I said last week, a Gallup poll showed there were more people in fear, worry, and anxiety right now than at any other time in the last decade. So the question before us as truth students is, do we use the same intellectual, emotional mechanism to create new stories? And I think that's what a lot of people are trying to do. They're trying to use those same old mechanisms to create new stories. It's just like in the church world right now. There are three different groups. There is the ones who want to use the old intellectual emotion to get back to a traditional church. There's ones who have gotten used to virtual church. And then there's that third group that wants to wake up in the morning and decide at that moment, do I want to get up and get dressed and go to church, or do I just want to stay in my slippers and have a cup of coffee and attend church virtually, you know? And so that's kind of what's facing the church world right now. Okay, so, you know, do we follow the meta spiritual way and become, you know, so do we use our intellect, our own intellect, to try to, you know, create the new story, okay? Or do we follow the meta spiritual way and become still and pray for guidance and help to what that new story is going to be? See, prayer is, always has been, and always will be the greatest way to reshape our stories. Now, in a video that April received in her email, and she forwarded it on to us, it was a Franciscan priest, Father Mark, and I really can't pronounce his last name. But anyway, he was explaining two forms of prayer. He talks about cataphatic prayer and apophatic prayer. He explains that cataphatic prayer is where you speak to God, tell God your problems, your fears and worries, and then listen for God to respond. It is important to note that God can respond to you in an infinite number of ways. So when you're praying, always be open to the fact that that answer can come a whole bunch of ways. It could be something on a poster on the side of a bus, you know, anything can all give you the answer. Because it can come through your imagination, it can come from just, you know, an infinite number of ways. And God's response can be gentle and subtle, or it can be in big, obvious ways. But it will be in a way that you can recognize. See, peace comes through this cataphatic prayer practice. Because even though it is an external prayer practice to an external God, you know, a lot of times that's how we were before unity. We had this external prayer practice to an external God, and we still might be finding ourselves doing that. Okay, so even though you're doing that, over time, you can see it working in your life anyway. Okay, this is the most likely way that we all initially practice prayer. Now, the other prayer method explained by Father Mark is apophatic prayer, APOPHATIC, apophatic prayer. This is more in line with the unity way of praying. It is where you are just quiet, as in be still and know. You just consent to what God is doing in your life. You just consent to what God is doing in your life. Consent meaning you give God permission to be in charge of your life and affairs. You give space in your life for the mystery to unfold. You sit quietly and allow yourself to be with God and for God to be with you. Unlike cataphatic prayer, no talking is required. This time of surrender helps you to move forward and deeper into that divine presence. It is simple but profound. So we read in the opening Advent, you know, as we read in the opening Advent explanation, in this apophatic prayer, you are allowing the angel, the messenger from God, to answer your unspoken prayer. Simply apophatic prayer is the practice of being in the now moment. Okay. So I think that's enough to think about, you know, for one session. So I'm going to end with this quote from St. Francis de Sales on how to remain peaceful. Okay. He says, never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever. Even if your whole world seems upset, he's saying, still stay in that peaceful state. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity Family, let's become still in our minds and in our bodies. Just breathe, relax, and allow the next few moments to calm and rejuvenate you, no matter where you are or how your day is going. Let this quiet moment and the rest of your day flow from a more peaceful place. Take a deep breath in, release it, and feel your body begin to relax. Close your eyes if you wish, or take that downward gaze. Breathe deeply again. And if you feel any tension, silently invite your body to release it and to let it go. Continue to notice your breath and be aware of your body as it relaxes. As you quiet your mind and body, you find that place of deep peace within you. In this moment of stillness, you turn to the tranquil presence within. You open to the peace that passes all understanding. And now please take the following words as your very own. I allow my heart and mind to be open, receptive, and free of any limiting thoughts. I am safe. I am awake to the wisdom and the beauty that is within me. I have chosen in this moment to feel balanced and peaceful. I breathe, and I am thankful that I am being kind to myself, allowing any fear or worry to be suspended in this moment. I fill that space with pure love. In these few moments, a whole new day has dawned within me. Now take the words that you have heard into the secret place of the Most High. There you may receive answers to your prayers and continue in the silence. Lord of our being, we are grateful for all our blessings, and we say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join your Unity family.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nice talk.
Thank you.
I have some questions, though, for the Zoom.
That's good. I hope everybody's got questions for Zoom. It makes you start to create the next week's talk from the discussion that we have in Zoom. So This is the time we become conscious of the blessings that the universe is given each one of us. Okay? And sometimes, you know, when we're in challenging times or unpeaceful times within ourselves, we might not even recognize that the universe is still blessing us. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to do an affirmation where we, it's a, you know, prosperity prayer where we're giving thanks for the blessings that are in our lives. So let's say that together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And now I ask you to hold your offering blessings in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit. The offerings that you're going to, you know, give to your Unity family to help us continue this work that we do. And so with that in mind, let's do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. And now you have light notes.
Light notes, right. All right, light notes for today, Sunday, December the 4th. It's time once again to renew our financial and volunteer commitments to our spiritual community for the year 2023. Please check your e-newsletter to download the fillable form. And if you need a hard copy, please email Patty. The Bowie Food Pantry has updated their processes to keep everyone safe. So for Christmas, families will be given food gift cards and toy gift cards to purchase gifts for their children. If you would like to participate in the program, please read your updates to find out how. December 11th, Lily Sandberg, whom you all know, will be our guest speaker. Her talk title is The Greatest of These is Love. It's a continuation of our Advent series, which began a couple weeks ago. The Women of Unity will celebrate the Divine Feminine on Saturday, December the 17th, with a holiday high tea. Today, if you are in the in-person service, we will have some forms for you to sign up for what to bring. If not, you can give me a call. But come and celebrate the season and each other with love. And we're having a virtual Christmas candle lighting service on Christmas Day, Sunday, December 25th. We are looking for readers and candle lighters, so please contact April at unityeasternregion@gmail.com. And also this evening at 7 p.m., the City of Bowie is doing their Christmas tree lighting ceremony. There'll be music, refreshments, and Santa, and fun for the whole family. So take a trip over there and join in with the fun.
Tell them where it is.
That's at the, yeah, I'm sorry, you don't know where it is, do you? Okay, so let me tell you. It's at the Kenhill Center, the old City Hall building.
No, the Senior Center.
The Senior Center, okay. The Senior Center in Bowie, which is across from the Bowie Town Center, right?
Yeah,
the Bowie Town Center. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be there. Okay. Right. Thank you.
Okay, so now it is time to
bless the path that we each will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion,
zeal,
and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord. Knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, and right now, right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. All right. Well, it's been great having you with us today. Hopefully, you're one of the many fortunate people who will be in our Zoom fellowship right after this.
Right. It's going to be good.
Yep. So have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.